Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Y'all want some bonus preaching? Y'all, have you ever read in the Bible where Moses was sent down while you're turning to Acts chapter 9? This the title of this message is called God Changed the Plans. And I hate to tell you this, but some of you were tricked or God maneuvered some stuff around for you to be here this morning. Amen? Because you know what? He's going to try to change your plans. He is. Do y'all remember when Moses, remember when God got mad at the people and he said he was going to destroy them? In the Old Testament, Moses went up onto the mount and God got real upset with them because they started doing all kinds of crazy. Amen? Are y'all okay? This is bonus preaching. This don't count towards time, okay? We don't have time here anyway, I don't think. But I just want to make sure. Y'all remember that? He said, I'm going to destroy them because they're down there worshiping a false idol and I'm aggravated and frustrated. I'm tired of them doing this. Amen? Y'all get it? And he was going to judge. And Moses went down. Y'all remember? And Moses went down. This used to confuse me. Oh my gosh. I'd read the Bible and I'd say, man, who's God here? Is God God or is Moses God? Y'all know what I'm talking about in a minute. Because guess what? He sent Moses down there and Moses seen it. And he begged God to turn his fury and his wrath from his people. He said, God, please. Oh man, I wish y'all could get a hold of this. Okay, then Jesus. God says, I'm so frustrated with man because they've sinned. And you know what? I'm going to destroy them. But then he says, but I'm going to send you down there. See, every time God is frustrated and wants to destroy us because of our sin, He sends someone. That we don't... He's still God. He's in control. He knows that you deserve judgment. You deserve to be punished. But He always sends someone. He always sends someone who will make a way for us. I don't know about some of y'all look so good this morning, so don't mess your makeup up or your clothes, okay? But just you radical one, ain't it good that God sent somebody for you because you knew that you deserved death, you deserved hell, but instead He sent someone. I'm glad He sent Jesus who stands as my advocate. Even though I'm guilty, I should be judged for my sin. I should be in hell today. He should never use me for anything. But someone says, God, don't destroy him. Destroy me. Remember, you made them. God loves you so much this morning. He moved heaven and earth for you to be here. Make no mistake about it. God loves you so much that He made some events happen, some things happen. You thought it was by mistake. You thought you ended up here by some happenstance. Wrong answer. Wrong deal. God loves you so much that He made things happen in the universe and time and all these events to get you to sit on this pew this day for Him to tell you that He loves you this much. And what He wants to do is He wants to take your life and just crumple it all up and put it away and give you real life. Life. Life and more life more abundantly. What you're living right now, if you don't have Christ, is not life. You're not living. Amen? What you're doing is you're going through the motions. Let's get into this. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus for the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Amen? Paul was mad. Have you ever been mad when you were breathing hard? Oh, you look so good this morning. But I have a feeling some of you women in here, you are amazing looking this morning. But I have a feeling that if I was to inquire in your family, have they ever heard you at that fire-breathing dragon mad? Can they hear you coming across the house? Amen? Some of you men, have you been so mad that you are angry? Guess what? Sometimes God, He will make you so angry before you get saved. He will. It'll make you so mad because you can't figure out why he won't go away. You can't figure out why you can't contain him, why you can't make him fit your perfect idea of who he is. See, Paul is so mad because he just watched a man die with the most powerful testimony he's ever seen in his life. God. Paul just seen a man put to death, and that man didn't mind dying because he was more alive at his death than Paul had been in his whole life. Some of you get mad at Christians because they're more alive than you are. You're watching their lives, and they've got joy and happiness, and they got all this stuff. They got peace that passes all understanding, even on the worst day of their life, and you're looking into their life, and you're sitting there going, man, that ticks me off. Why can't they be like me? They seem so happy. They seem so peaceful. They seem like they got stuff in their heart and their mind, even though they're going through tough. Do you know you're sitting by some superheroes this morning in the faith? Y'all, some of y'all are sitting here, I don't know what you're talking about. There are people in here that it blows my mind when I see them sitting in the pews. I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm saying, God, let me have strength like they have on the times that they're having it right now. I'm blown away. I am blown away. I'm not going to point fingers and name names, but I'm telling you right now, when I see certain people walk into this, I think, my God, their faith is so strong. And it encourages me. It uplifts me. I'm sitting there going, man, hope when I'm tested. I hope when I'm tried. I can trust God like that. So some of you don't know this, but you are setting by some superheroes in the faith this morning. More than one. It's awesome, ain't it? See, Stephen, you wouldn't believe this. They were all... They got him down there, and Stephen, he seen the opportunity that he had. He had all the religious people in the all of Jerusalem there, and he seen the perfect opportunity. He says, oh man, look, I got them all cornered. I think I'll preach to them. Amen? He had them all there. What an awesome audience. He had an opportunity to preach. See, some of you preachers in here, you're looking for the most perfect opportunity to preach and minister the gospel is when your life is in the most jeopardy. When you're the hated the most, when people are out to get you, that's your biggest stage, friend. Some of you preachers, I'm preaching to you. Don't wait for the opportunity to preach. Preach when God gives you the place that nobody else wants to preach in. See, Stephen was there when everybody was gathering rocks. So they brought Stephen, they threw him out in front of everybody, and they were going to stone him to death. And Saul, was standing there, and everybody, they liked Saul. He was a young kid. He was an up-and-comer in the faith. He was an up-and-comer in the Pharisaical church. Everybody thought he was a rising star. Everybody thought he was doing great. So they let him hold the coats. Here, Paul, hold my religious outer garment. Glory, glory. Amen? Some people are whited sepulchers. When I say that, some of you go, what does that mean? Okay, some of you are whited tombs. Ah, some of you are graveyards. Graveyards are beautiful from the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones. They're death. Amen? They look good on the outside. See, I don't really care how good I look on the outside if the inside of me is dead. See, all these men, they look good on the outside. This is the first time probably in their whole lives they were being real. They were taking off their cool religious garments and exposing how angry they were at this man who loved Jesus. And Stephen reared back and he preached Jesus Christ unto them. And it got so good. It got so good that nobody there liked him at all, but somebody in the audience stood up. I know it's Sunday morning, Chris. I'm not supposed to be back here, but I think there's only like a handful of people paying attention to this message. I know I should stay up there and just be calm and cool and collected, and maybe you'll like that, but I don't know about that kind of stuff. All I know about is this, friend. He said, I see an opportunity here. And he goes, I'm going to preach. And the only person that liked his preaching was Jesus. See, Jesus had already died. He had already been resurrected. He had already went to heaven, and he was sitting there waiting for the whole thing to come to pass. He was making the earth his footstool in the day and waiting for his Father to say, go get your bride. And he thought, okay, no, nobody's died. Nobody's got hurt yet. Oh gosh, they're going to kill Stephen for me. And he's sitting there, and he's sitting on the throne of glory, and Jesus loves us. God, if you can get a hold of this, he not only saved us, he died for us, he loves us. He's watching our lives. He's looking into every aspect of our lives. And they drag Stephen, and they start stoning him. And Jesus says, man, stay strong, Stephen. God, just, can I preach for, listen, hey, Stephen had just got a title. He just got a title. It'll be all right. Hey, look, he just got a title, man. Could you imagine just getting a title? Man, I love titles, amen? Pastor, director, father, husband. He had just got to be one of the first deacons. Not watered-down deacons. Not oh, I'm worried about the church business deacons. I'm talking about somebody who was full of the Holy Ghost and apt to teach deacon. Worried about others more than he worried about himself, deacon. Seven. They picked out seven of them. Oh, stop preaching on deacons, bro. But he just got this title, and he's like, look, I'm one of the first deacons. I'm going to do great stuff. I'm going to start a Bible study. I'm going to start helping the widows. I'm going to start helping the orphans. I'm going to really do something in my community. And God says, no, you're not. You're going to die for me. And while you're dying, I want you to glorify me. He said, I'm up for that. And while they're starting to stone him, after he's preached to them and called them stiff-necked, hard-hearted, he says, you've always resisted the Holy Spirit. How many of you in this room have always resisted the Holy Spirit? Stop it. It's killing you. He said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Guess what they did? They stuffed their ears and they ran on him and tackled him. Can you believe that? These men are the leaders of the church. I kind of get that. Kind of get that. And as they're scooping up rocks and they're starting to throw them at him and stone him, he looks up to heaven and he says the most amazing thing. God, Jesus, lay this not to their charge. Don't put this on their account. God, I love this. As soon as he said it, Jesus stood up and looked down into the earth that he died for. And he said, finally, someone gets it. Everything that happens to you is not some crazy deal. The thing that happened to you, God allowed it to happen to you where you can glorify him, where others can be saved and taste the grace that you have. Even, write it down, put it on your heart, memorize it. Even your worst enemy. You won't believe this, but God is trying to save your worst enemy. He's trying to save ISIS. He's trying to save Afghanistan. He's trying to save the most Muslim cleric there is. And you think God just wanted to save you. See, Stephen died. He glorified Jesus. And all he was trying to do was save one of the worst murderers on the face of the planet. Saul. A church killer. Somebody walked in here right now and said, I'm a murderer. He said, I don't know if we can forgive you. Who'd you kill? Church people. Can I sit with you? I don't know. Amen? Paul's so mad. He is so mad. Some of you right now, sitting in here, you are so mad. Because everything we're preaching, it gets you in that place, and you know it. You've known it since you were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. You've made excuses. You've made all these things up in your mind why you're not going to surrender your life to God. It's mom's fault. It's dad's fault. The church hurt me. Some pastor hurt me. Somebody did. Listen, that was somebody. It's not God. He still loves you. He's still after you. And you're mad at the one who's trying to save you. Paul is mad at the person who's about to make sense of his whole life. God, ain't this so good? Saul, yet breathing out, he went to the high priest and he asked him for some letters. Will you give me the authority? Will you give me the authority that I, whoever I find in this way, what way? You know who he was looking for? The disciples. You know what? The enemy's trying to kill disciples and God's looking to use them. Are you a disciple? Amen. Check this out. You know what some characteristics of a disciple are? Follower. Are you a follower of Christ or just somebody who says Jesus' name when you get in trouble? An imitator. Do you imitate him? Do you often get categorized, or do some people always say, you think you're like Jesus, you think you're perfect. Does anybody ever categorize you because you're imitating? Listen, they called them Christians at Antioch first. Hello. Did I say that right? They called them Christians at Antioch. Too many times we spend our lives telling other people that we're Christians. They couldn't identify us one, but we tell them that we are one. Wouldn't it be nice every once in a while if somebody accused you of being one before you opened your mouth and told them? Amen? And guess what? A disciple is one who has a master. They are under the authority of a master. Are you under the authority of a master? Or are you just doing whatever you feel like doing and calling that godly? Calling that living for Jesus? Because let me tell you something, Jesus does some crazy stuff. He sends you down some paths that you don't see how it's going to work out. He places you in places you think you might die. And guess what? He takes all your plans that you had and your idea of how life was going to be successful and he throws those away and he gives you true success. Y'all ready for it? Check this out. He was headed down there to kill the disciples, to bound them up, bring them back to Jerusalem and judge them and hopefully put them to death. But on the road to Damascus, he ran into somebody. This Jesus we've been singing about for the last 14 songs, how many ever they say, that one, the cross, the blood, how great thou art, he ran into him. And guess what? This morning, you are running into him. And he outshines the sun. He's bigger than the universe. And he wants you. He desires you. He's wanting to save you. And guess what he tells Paul? Paul, he runs into him. He's brighter than the sun on the noonday. Amen, I love that. He falls down on his face and he says, Lord, what have you to do with me? You know what God says? God, it's so good. I didn't mean to preach this, Scott, but I'm going to anyway. All right? More bonus preaching. Amen. Listen. Check this out. He says, why are you persecuting me? Listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you make fun of Christians, you make fun of Christian lifestyle, you make fun of how Christians do this, Christians do that, guess what? You're not making fun of Christians. God's not looking. He says, he ain't sitting there going, oh, he made fun of Scott. He hurt Sharon. He hurt them. Oh, he hurt Rick. No, he's like this. You hurt me. You're hurting me. See, every time you curse God, every time you curse the church, every time you ridicule people who love Jesus, you know what you're doing? You're doing it to Jesus, and he's taking account of it. Whew. Ouch. That hurts because I did that a lot up until 2004. I did it. I made fun of God. I criticized Christians. I made fun of Jesus. I did. I ain't going to lie to you. Why would I lie? And when I got saved in 2004, the first thing you reminded me of, God, you've got a lot of things against me, and I got a lot of things against you, and guess what? We can come now and reason together. God, y'all got that? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hey, I'm willing. Golly, can I preach? Hey, listen, God says, I'm willing to come down to the bargaining table with you, and we can reason some things out. Golly, I love this. I wasn't going to preach any of this, but my God, I can't help it. Has anybody ever here bought a used car? Used car dealers are the most awesome people in the world to deal with. They are awesome fun. Amen? They know how to make a deal. Amen? They see you walk on the parking lot. Man, what a goofball, right? I'm speaking from my own experience. Just walk. I ain't got no credit. I ain't got no job. I ain't got nothing, right? Cool. Yes, amen. He walking. You got any money for down payment? I got that Escort 86 model. Ain't everybody, nobody, everybody sitting in the back. See that, baby? Man, pristine AM radio. Check that out. You won't find one of them anywhere. You want to make a trade? Yeah, what can I get here? You can get this fine automobile right over here. It's got two owners. Look at it. He goes, man, I've got a lot of miles. Hey, watch his radio. Watch his stereo. Boom, boom. Hey. If you turn it up loud enough, you can't hear the engine. Amen? Amen? You good? You ever been there? Amen? Oh, what a sweet deal. You roll out there and you go, man, I ripped that dude off. I traded an 86 Escort in for a brand new truck. Woo! I'm ripping it. Your Escort's better than that truck was. I'm preaching to myself. Amen? God's not a used car salesman. He's got one of the greatest deals you'll ever hear of. And here it is. Here's what he does. He says, come now, reason together. You have absolutely nothing to bargain with. What you have is sin, death, heartache, and pain. And when you die, you'll spend an eternity separated from me in a place called hell. That's what you have to bargain with. Amen? God says, I have righteousness, holiness, and eternal life. And I have it for you. Because Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, the one who took our place at Calvary, the one propitiation means a meeting place, the one that allows us to come to the bargaining table with God, otherwise we couldn't sit down at the table. He says, because of Jesus, he sets him, he's our negotiator, he's our bargaining chip, he's the one who made a way for me and you to talk. He said, here's the deal, and here's the deal for you, I'm laying it out plain. You give me all your unrighteousness, your sin, your pain, your hang-ups, your hurts. You give them to me, and I'll cast them behind me, or as far as the east is from the west, or the deepest parts of the sea. And what I'll do for you is I'll give you the righteousness of my son Jesus. Amen. You want to make a deal? Listen, I ain't going to tell you nothing. I'm not the smartest man on the block. I'm not the smartest man in this church. I know that, but let me tell you this. I was smart enough to know a good deal when I see one. Wait a minute. You mean I can get righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, and happiness, and eternal life through Jesus Christ, and all I got to do is give you all my junk, all my sin, all my lying, all my hurt, and I'll preach on hurt. You mean my drug addiction? You mean my pornography addiction? You mean my lying? You mean when I got molested? You mean when I got hurt? You mean when I got hit? You mean when my mom left? You mean when my dad gave up on me? You mean when somebody died and I didn't expect it? You saying you can take all that? And he says, you keep giving it and I'll keep taking it. And some of you are sitting right here, you're sitting here real skeptical, and you're going, I don't know if he can do that. I didn't either until I made the deal. I was real skeptical too until I slid all my junk across the table. Yeah, the devil's going to come by every once in a while and tell you you didn't make a deal. And he's going to remind you of sin, that you sinned before you got saved and the things you did. And you know what? You can go to God and pray about it, and God's going to be doing something that's going to blow your mind. He's going to be sitting there going, I don't have a clue about what you're talking about. I've went to God before, and I said, God, remember when I was 10? Remember when I was 14? Remember when I was 28? Remember all that stuff I done? I mean, golly, the devil's really wearing me out about it, and I'm wearing myself out about it. And God's sitting there going, yeah, but you gave it to me in 04, and I forgot all about it. You're holy and you're righteous in my son Jesus, so let it go. Where'd those papers go? Where'd the papers go? Paul got arrested on the road to Damascus. He had those papers. I think he had them clutched in his hand. I'm not sure. But we never hear about them again. Here's what they look like. Amen? The high priest gave them to him, so he had man's authority. He was going on a man's authority. Some of you in here, you're trying to go on your own authority. You're trying to get a good job. You're trying to get a good education. You're trying to get a man's approval. You want everybody to say you've done great. Amen? And you know what you find out year after year after year? Some of you older people, help me out just a little bit. You find out people usually don't even care. Amen? When you're looking for man's approval, man's authority, usually if you ain't no good to them, you're no good. That's like three people in here. I'm going to let it slide. He was still climbing the ladder. He was self-ambitious. Are any of you still trying to climb the ladder of success? One rung at a time? Even a success in the church? See, when I first got saved, I thought I had to be right around the right preachers and right church. I thought I had to rub elbows with the right people. And I figured out, you know what? Why don't I have to do this? It's kind of weird. Amen, preacher. It's kind of weird. I went to eat with a bunch of preachers one time, and they sat and talked about their congregation and ran them down. And I was sitting there looking around the room, and there were people in there who were light power people, who worked on cable, who worked in the community. And I'm sitting here going, my goodness, none of these men are ever going to go to church because they sit here and hear the pastors wear their church out. I got up and said, I'm out of here. This is crazy. Needless to say, I didn't get to preach revival in any of their churches ever again. And I wasn't upset about it. I said, thank you very much. Self-ambition and pride will wear you out. Pride cometh before a fall. Are you proud of who you are? Be proud of one thing, Jesus and Jesus alone. He was fighting God. Anybody here fighting God? I did it for 30 years. Fighting against God, trying to put up a... No, I'm not going to relinquish. No, I'm not going to surrender. No, I'm not going to get up. I can make this work. Remember when the devil keeps telling you your lies can somehow work out? Doing it the wrong... I didn't do it right. Maybe I'll switch to this and that'll be better. Listen, that's us trying to make it. Amen? Yeah. Fighting against God the whole way. God said, hey, come unto me. I'll give you rest. My burden's light. My burden's easy. It's easy to carry. No, God, I know. Yeah. But can you put that brick back in? Hey, man, I dropped a brick. Can you put another brick in? Oh, I see your brick. Can I carry it with you too? Oh, yeah, put it in there. Some of y'all are heavy laden. Some of y'all are carrying some stuff around you ain't supposed to be carrying around. God said he would change loads with you real quickly, and his is easy to carry. I didn't say Christian life is easy, but it's easy to carry. You don't worry about it. You don't have stress about it. Anybody else in here stressed out? Well, you know what you need to do? Instead of staying stressed out, you need to come up here to this altar and give it to God and say, God, take my stress and give me your peace. Because what you're stressed out about is not of God. It's not from God. You loaded that yourself, or you let somebody else load it for you. Mondays are hard on me, brother. They are. I get up and I think, man, what did I say? What did I do at the church? Man, did I hurt somebody? Did I let somebody down? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? Man, I'm telling you, you know, I thought I was all alone, but I heard Chuck Swindoll say it just the other day. Same thing. I was like, thank God. Hey, man, I'm glad I'm not the only one. But praise God, every time I do that, God reminds me, you're a mail carrier, son. Just deliver the stinking mail and go on to the next box. Pick up a new batch tomorrow and deliver it. All right, I gave you all the problems. You good? You want the answers? Because you know what? I ain't going to sit here and preach a bunch of problems to you and never give you the answers. I'll give you the answer. And it's simple. Some of you sit here going to make it ultra spiritual. You're going to try to make it ultra complicated. But at the end of these three things, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. They're going to come up here and play a song. All you got to do is say, I want that. You come up here on any of these altars and you pray out to God and you say, God, I need to be saved. And I need all that stuff he's talking about because I'm tired of trying to get a man's approval. I'm tired of trying to climb the ladder of self-ambition and pride. And I'm tired of fighting. My gosh, am I tired of fighting against you? So here's the answers. Jesus is the high priest. He's got ultimate authority. If you let him be the authority in your life, he will take control and make a life that has power and authority in it. Hey, tell me, so I dare you to do this because I know, who is the high priest that Paul went to? Who was on the Sanhedrin? Who signed the papers that let him go? Who were the 120 or 220 or the 12 that signed the papers for Paul? Who were they? Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know either. But do you know who Paul is? You know why? You know who Paul is? Because one day, Paul surrendered to God's authority. And guess what? We know him because he is God's. We have a record of Paul for one reason and one reason only. He surrendered his life to God. And God said, therefore, you'll be known for centuries and centuries and centuries, all the way up until the second coming of Christ. But if you don't accept me, you might be one of the most successful people in your era. But I don't know you, and my people won't know you. You okay with that? Hear what I'm saying. Have you ever heard this craziness that's going on in our country right now? Some people say this, and don't get mad at me when I say it because it's politically incorrect big time, because it's going to say like this, you're on the wrong side of history. If I hear one more time that, I'm going to throw up in my own mouth, because let me tell you something, I'd like to be on the wrong side of history every single time unless it's God's history. Never mind. Y'all ready? So Jesus is the high priest. He is the ultimate authority. Let him have the authority in your life. And guess what? You'll have a life that's talked about for eternity. Or you won't be forgotten. Amen? No ladder to climb. Whoo, glory. Hallelujah. Preacher, amen? Preacher, amen? Yep. All right, whatever.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Check this out. Listen, there ain't no ladder to climb. Praise God. God says, I have called you and I have ordained you. Praise God. You would have to climb down to get to somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Billy Graham. Yep, you'd have. God. Yep, Billy Graham's down below that, I think. Amen? Well, I was, my mom said under so and so. I don't care if you sit under the Pope. Well, the Pope don't count anyway. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? You don't have to go. If God's called you and God ordained you, check this out. You've been called by God.
Amen.
Stop trying to get to somebody who's going to approve your life when God's already stamped you with approval.
Amen.
I get excitable. What was that last one? You're fighting against God. You know what's cool about this? Is God starts fighting for you. Whew. Ain't this awesome? Reminds me of the little girl. As they start to come get a song. Come get a song. Reminds me of a little girl. I know you hear this a lot, but I don't care. There's a little girl that had an alabaster box of ointment. Remember her? And she comes into the room. Remember, they asked Jesus, they said, come eat at our house. And the little girl got wind of it. I'll preach this all the time. It's about my second favorite message. She comes, she's up there in her house, and God's dealing with her heart, says, go down there and worship me, because I'm in a house full of Pharisees and Sadducees. They look like they want to worship me, but they don't. I'm worried that sometimes about our churches, amen. That we look like we want to worship him, but we never get to it. Amen? And there's some little sinner girl. Little sinner, amen, like me. She's sitting up there, but nobody invited me, Lord. Yeah, it don't matter. Yeah, but nobody wants me down there, Lord. Yeah, I do. Because I need somebody to really worship me, because nobody in the house is worshiping. My disciples are here. My apostles are here. Amen? They've got comfortable around me. Has anybody in here got comfortable? You used to worship. Oh, you told me the story. I used to be a fireball. Yeah, what happened? Run out of gas? Amen. You know what I don't like is sometimes they talk about saints who used to be here, who used to be fired up, and how much you like them. You ought to see no sister so-and-so. She was a fireball. You ought to see no brother so-and-so. He was a fireball. What made you think he was a fireball, and why can't you be one? What happened? You never get caught by the fire? Now, preacher, you're meddling. Go back to preaching what you was preaching. So the apostles and the disciples, the ones that's been saved for a while, the ones that have been walking with Jesus, it's less than 3 years, but, you know, they kind of got used to it. Anybody been saved for a little while, but you still got used to it? So used to it. So even though when God starts trying to move you, don't let him move you, because guess what? You know, you just look a scene, you need to get up, and it might prolong service. It might, you know, yeah, I didn't mess my stuff up. Golly, I don't do that. See, Jesus walked in that room and somebody should have washed his feet. Somebody should have kissed his face. Somebody should have made him feel welcome. Even the apostle said, you know what, let somebody else do it. I don't think that's a job for me. Then there was a Pharisee. He's altogether messed up because he just wanted Jesus to come in and make and approve his worship, approve him. He wanted him to see how great he was doing it. Some of y'all want this church. You want God to come in here and say, man, what an awesome way you're doing church. Look how we do church, God. Are you impressed? No, not really. I like your building. I like your clothes. I like how you do, but you know, you don't really want me in it because if you did, you'd already be worshiping me and you'd kiss my feet, you'd wash my feet, you'd put some perfume on me to cover up the smell of me walking. Because I'm God, but I've been walking like a man. Why couldn't I just stop this message a while back? Scott gave me permission. He said this thing was going to run late. It's his fault. A little old girl walks in, carrying an alabaster box for him, walks right by the apostles, right by the Pharisees, wasn't invited, walks over, gets behind Jesus, breaks the box of ointment and pours it out over Jesus. And I mean, she tears the place apart. She doesn't shout. She doesn't do anything. She just worships Jesus. Then she gets down at his feet and starts washing the feet. And it looks gritty and grimy and nobody else wants to be a part of that. And all of a sudden, one of the Pharisees, oh, he's so stupid. He says, look at her. She's a sinner. If he knew who she was. He knew exactly who she was because he sent for her. Amen. Somebody goes, who do you think you are? I'm the one that Jesus sent for. Amen? Well, who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody. I'm just the one Jesus sent for, and I didn't want to waste my time when I got there. So if you're one of them radicals that just love to worship, just love Jesus, and people wonder why you're so crazy about him, you say, well, I don't know why. He just sent me. Amen? He called for me. You wouldn't do it, I guess. Oh. And guess what? She begins to worship. And guess what? She never defends herself. Guess who did? Yeah. See, this whole time you've been fighting against God and God's been wanting to fight for you. You've been fighting your family. You've been fighting your past. You've been fighting who you've been identified as. Amen? But God says, I'd like to put my righteousness on you in the form of Jesus Christ, and I would like to become your defender or your shield in faith, and I will fight for you if you allow me. And let me tell you something, it's a whole lot easier to fight with God on your side than fight against Him. Haven't you found that out yet? I know I did. Let's all stand. If you're ready to come surrender, this altar's open.